Heavenly Father, we come before you today humbly asking for your help. Lord, send your Holy Spirit on us that your words make sense to us, that we can see the connections that you have for us in Scripture, that we can understand the truth that the Apostle John is bringing us. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning with verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Here in this section, we have, again, dear friends or dear children. We've heard this over and over and over again in this letter of 1 John. The Apostle John, he has real Christian love for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Real Christian love. And like I said, we're going to make some connections here. And the first thing that I want to highlight is that there's a difference between Christian love and worldly love. There's a difference between Christian love and worldly love. Now, John here, he is alerting them of the false prophets that have come up among them. This has been a theme throughout this letter. The false prophets, it's a big deal because they bring false hope. They bring false happiness for people. And false prophets, they are running wild in the name of Christ. But they are not of Christ. Rather, they are of the world. False prophets, they'll tell you what sounds good in your society. They'll tell you what you want to hear when it comes to spirituality. I mean, we have several examples we could go to. We could talk about the Mormons. You know what the ultimate goal is for Mormons? That you be a god, like God is God, and that you have your own kingdom in the afterlife. That's false prophecy. Other false prophets, they try to twist Scripture so it sounds better to our broken world. And very often, this twisting of Scripture at the base of it, they will deny original sin. They will deny that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Very often, false prophets, they will focus on the self. They'll make spirituality all about you. We're self-centered people because of sin, and we want to hear that. We want spirituality to be all about us. And this focus on the self could come in a lot of different forms. It could be about prosperity. It could be about what I get for following Jesus. If I do this, then I'll receive this in return. Could be all about us, That's false prophecy. False prophecy could be all about distorting God's will to make the thing that we're into right in our own eyes. This could have to do with sex and marriage and whatever it might be that's out there. Our financial dealings, all of that stuff. We can try to justify all of this. And there are false prophets out there that'll want to tell us that what we're doing is right and not wrong. So, John here, talking to his friends, he invites them to test. Test. When you hear something, from a pulpit, on TV, test it, evaluate it. We need to test and evaluate. Because we need to know if they're from God or if they are false prophets from the world. And like I said, this is important. And we'll get to that. This is important for what it means for us to love. So how do you test? Well, we get to verse 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. False prophets, they get the basics wrong. When it comes down to it, false prophets, they get the basics wrong. They mess up who Jesus is. They mess up what Jesus has come to do. And out of these wrong ideas about Jesus, they start twisting scripture and get way off base. Well, what are the basics? Here John points to Jesus. He says Jesus came in the flesh. He came in the flesh. Meaning Jesus is God, fully human, and he's the one true and only Savior. That's what John's talking about here. We're talking about Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, satisfying the wrath of God, being resurrected on the third day, ascending into heaven, being at the right hand of the Father. Fully God, fully human. This is the Jesus that the Apostle John knows. And the false prophets, they get this wrong. In John's day, the false prophets, they saw Jesus as spirit only and denied him coming in the flesh. So that was the particular heresy that John was dealing with in his day. But we get all kinds of ideas about Jesus from false prophets today. We could go through a whole list of historic heresies in the church, and we could tie those in to false prophets today who preach all kinds of things, not the things that I just went through. So we are called to test. Do they get the basics right? When we're looking at Mormons, when we're looking at progressive, so-called progressive churches, universalists, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Scientists, and many, many, many more, they do not get the basics right. They might talk a good talk, but they're not walking with Jesus. They're off base. And we're called, as Christians, to test the spirits. When you turn on your TV, when you listen to YouTube preachers, when you are bringing in any kind of Christian content to your life, you're called to pay close attention. Check out the producers of the music that you listen to. Check out all of this stuff and see if they get the basics right. Like I said, there's an important reason for us to get the basics right, and it's tied to love. There's something that false prophets have to do with love. That's why John's talking about it. All right, verses 4 up to 6. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. False prophets, they're going to be popular. False prophets, they're going to get the high-profile interviews on TV. They are going to be well-liked. They are going to sound great. But they are going to be man-centered. It's going to be materialistic. And there's going to be upside-down priorities. And the reason is because they are aligned with the world. They're aligned with Satan. They are not aligned with God. But you, this is encouragement from the Apostle John for you and for I. But you and I, we have one that is greater than the world in us. Now, this is how you can test the prophets, because you have one that is greater than the world in you. Here John's talking about the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Holy Spirit. God is at work in you, and you can spot bad teaching. You can test the spirits because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know falsehood from the truth. And as you grow in Christ, worldly teaching, the teaching of the false prophets, it's not going to be acceptable to you. Rather, you are going to listen to the apostles' teachings. So we're called to test for false prophets. And this is an important part of the Christian life. And there's good reason for it. And it has to do with real Christian love. And we're going to get to that now as we move into the next section. This is John, 1 John 4, 7 to 16. 1 John 4, 7 to 16. And here he uses those words again. Dear friends. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Like I said, there is a link between the false prophets and Christian love. Well, what is that link? Well, it's about knowing the real Jesus. If you follow the false Jesus that the false prophets bring forward for you, you won't really know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know his love. and you don't know God. Like I said, there's a difference between Christian love and worldly love. So let's look at verses 7 through 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Real Christian love is rooted in knowing Jesus for real. Real Christian love is rooted in knowing Jesus for real. So if you don't know Jesus for real, you don't know Christian love. This is the big connection that I think John has here. If you're not getting the real Jesus, if you're following false prophets, you're not getting love right. You're stuck in worldly love and not in real Christian love. Worldly love would say, I love my truck, or I love the way I feel when I get an Amazon package in the mail. That excitement that the product you ordered is here so fast. Worldly love would be, I love being a part of the group, or I love gratifying my own desires. These are all about the self. And like I said, false prophets, they're all about the self. But the love of God is a different kind of love, and real Christian love is a different kind of love. For real Christian love, it's not about us, and it's not from us. Real Christian love is rooted in Jesus. It's rooted in God's love for us. Real Christian love starts with the source. And you got to know the source. You got to know Jesus. And this is where real Christian love is rooted, where it comes from. Well, what is it about this source? What is it about being rooted in Jesus that's so important? Well, we can look at verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So real Christian love is rooted in the real Savior. It's rooted in Christ, who is our source. And how is he the source? Well, he's the source because even though we didn't deserve it because of sin, even though we didn't love him first, he sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He is our atoning sacrifice, nothing that we deserved for anything that we've done. And he has shown us that despite our sins, he has loved us first. He's loved us first. God has loved us in sending his Son Jesus. This is the source for real Christian love. Jesus dying for us. And we can ask ourselves, what is your foundation for love? What's your foundation for love? What is your source for love? Is it about you? Is it about what you're going to receive? If I love in this way, I'm going to receive in this way? Or rather, is it rooted in what God has done for you? Is it rooted in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you? Him loving you before you were even born. Him loving you before you ever knew what love was. It's a big difference. It's a big difference between real Christian love and worldly love. Real Christian love is all about the source. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done for us. So, John makes the next step. He says, you know, you guys have avoided false prophets. You have not listened to their false teachings about Jesus. So you know the real Jesus. Now, knowing the real Jesus, understand that real Christian love is rooted in the source. It's rooted in Jesus, and it's rooted in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. This is the baseline for Christian love. Now, because you know this, and because you're rooted in Christ's love for you, now, verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So out of that source, out of Jesus dying for us on the cross, we are called to respond to his matchless, wonderful, awesome grace by loving others. Our loving is not about getting something out of it. It's not about feeling a certain way. It's not about us. But it's rather about what God has done for us. We love others because God loves us. And it's a resulting effect of our connection with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can continue with verse 12 here. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. In this whole process, we find out that the Holy Spirit is active. How is the Holy Spirit active in this process? Well, the Holy Spirit has now enabled us to love as Jesus loves. So we're not alone in our response to the matchless grace. We've been given the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enables us to love like Jesus loves. Well, how is this love of Jesus? Well, Jesus' love is about self-sacrifice. He sacrificed himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and now, with the Holy Spirit in us, we too are enabled. Rather than living selfish lives, the Holy Spirit enables us to live self-sacrificial lives. So it's not about us, but about others. Maybe in the past, you've encountered some people that have talked about being Christians. But all you've seen is self-centeredness. Not been listening to God, because as Christians, we've been enabled by the Holy Spirit to love as Jesus loves. And our love, the way that we act, the way that we walk, the way that we talk, it should not be focused in on a worldly source, self-centeredness, connected to Satan, but rather on self-sacrifice, connected to the source, Jesus, who died for us. We are called to love as Jesus loves. Now, maybe you're wondering, well, I know some non-Christians, and I've seen them be self-sacrificial. What about them? Well, again, we can go back to the source. if the source is not Jesus and him dying on the cross for us, then it's a different source, a worldly source. It's not rooted in the love that we have from God. It's not rooted in God. It's rooted in something worldly. Maybe there's a secret desire behind their self-sacrificing. Maybe there's something that they're looking to gain. In order to love as God loves, you need to be connected to the source. You need to be connected to Jesus. I was thinking about it this morning. When it comes to self-sacrifice, I guess you can relate it to a while back. I went on eBay and I wanted one of those Salute to the Soldiers Green Bay Packers hoodies. I don't know if you've seen these. They're really cool. So I went on eBay. I was hoping to strike a deal on one of these Salute the Soldiers Green Bay Packer hoodies. So I bought it. It looked good on the pictures, but when I got it, you know what? I'm pretty sure that it wasn't made by Nike. I'm pretty sure it's a knockoff. Self-sacrificial love that's not connected to the main source, to Jesus, is just a knockoff. It's not the real thing. All right, let's look at the last section here. This is 1 John 4, the second half of 16 up to 21. Well, this gets to the truth of the matter here. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. God is love. That's why there can be no substitute. There's not real love when it comes to worldly love, because God is love and he is the only source for true love. And like John told us earlier, we are connected to the real and true source, to the Father who sent his son Jesus to die for us, who has given us all the Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts and enables us to love as Jesus loves. Now, here at this last section that we're looking at today, we see the goal of Christian love. So, we avoid the false prophets. We understand that Jesus saved us from our sins. We understand his love. We've repented. We've put our trust in Jesus. We have now been given new life in Christ. We've received the Holy Spirit. And now we see the goal of all of this. And the first part of it is that it glorifies God. Having the love of Jesus in us and then loving like God has loved us, it glorifies God. When we go around as little Christs in this world, doing what Jesus does. It glorifies God. It gives him the glory. And when people see us living self-sacrificially, it doesn't puff us up, but rather it puffs up Jesus, so that when they see us do good deeds, they're seeing Jesus at work. And our ultimate hope and ultimate goal is that everyone that we come across, everyone that we show the love of Jesus to, our great hope is that they end up loving Jesus too. That they see our self-sacrificial love for them, and we point them to Jesus, who is the ultimate source for love. And that when they see Jesus, they want to live for him too. Here in these last verses, we find out that love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Confidence on the day of judgment. That's what we have. And I know that you do, because I hear it from many of you. You have confidence in the Lord that on the day of judgment, you are going to be with him, and you are truly saved from your sins. Confidence in that. And that's the kind of confidence we would like to see in the people that we run into in our daily lives. All of the people that don't know Jesus yet, that we love, we want them to see Jesus and join us in having confidence on the day of judgment. And again, here, verse 19, John kind of repeats himself here. Again, we love because he first loved us. God initiated all of this. It's all about what God has done. Not about what we've done, but what God has done. We love because God has loved us first. And finally, the last couple of verses here. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We are called to get the basics right when it comes to Jesus, to get his work on the cross right. And when we do, we will have the right foundation for love. A foundation that says, how could you possibly know Jesus if you don't have love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? They're right here in front of you, yet you haven't seen God. How does that work? John says it doesn't work. If you truly know God and love God, you will have love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, because you are enabled by the Holy Spirit, so that through this love you can glorify God, you can show Jesus' love to others, so that they can see Jesus too, so that they have an opportunity to turn, repent, believe, and trust, and join in the family of God. God has taken the initiative in this love, in all of it, and as Christians we are called to respond by loving him, glorifying him, and loving each other sacrificially. All rooted in the wonderful work of Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for enabling us to love as your Son Jesus loves. We thank you for making our roots deep in the atoning sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as we think about what it means to have real Christian love versus worldly love, Lord, help us to continue to turn towards self-sacrificial love, doing things for others before we do things for ourselves. Lord, we can start with this at home, with those that are around us, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, at school. Lord, guide us so that by our actions, people see your son Jesus and want to know more about him. Lord, we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.